Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
All right, let's get to the Magic Hat.
It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his Magic Hat.
Hocus Pocus, where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Durden's break here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a great start.
That's good shit right there.
Yeah, it is. We got a lot to get to. We got some more preseason games in the National Football League. We can dive into those a little bit later on, what to watch, what to keep an eye on. Before we get to the Magic Hat, just a couple of, we have the poll question up, a couple of them for the day. You can go vote at Durden's break on Twitter. The latest one being, who is the best quarterback in the NFC North? One listener adamant that it is Jared Goff, and from a statistical standpoint,
well, I think he deserves more recognition, but I think because he hasn't won the big enchilada we talk about, and because the Rams dumped him, and you know he had that NFC that playoff game against the Commanders,
right?
I think those couple things always leave people stopping short.
No doubt.
He also had one of the worst games I've seen a franchise quarterback have last year in Philadelphia.
He did.
He could not throw in cold weather. He was terrible.
It also highlights the difficulty in talking about the position, because who has on paper, it seems like, the best offensive line in the NFC North?
Right? On paper?
Like, probably the Lions going into the year. Who has the best collection of weapons in the NFC North? Would you take anybody's weapons over
Detroit?
The Vikings
have Addison and Justin Jefferson.
I get it. The Lions have maybe the best running back in the league and a great core of wide receivers and a tight end.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's a huge gap.
The Vikings have some good stuff.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And maybe it ends up being, although nobody has voted for Kyler Murray yet. He's getting 0% of the vote, which is kind of funny. But it highlights to me, like, if you traded offensive lines and weapons with fill-in-the-blank team, He's in a very advantageous situation, is all I'm trying to argue for Jared Goff. But he might be the best. He's winning the vote right now. Also, are you upset that ESPN is getting rid of the bottom score ticket for college football games, yes or no? Go vote on that one at Durden Sprague on Twitter. Let's get to the Magic Hat. What do we got in the old hat today, Jason Swigart?
We'll start with this. Finally, some honesty.
That would have to involve an audio cut I just sent you. And
Hang on.
I don't know if you uploaded it.
I'm uploading it. I'm trying to
get this. Do we need to pivot? We can pivot if we need to.
Just take a second to get this. So, there is a pro athlete that was talked about a lot more about a decade ago. And the reason he was talked about, one, he was really good. We thought, oh, man, this at the next level, he could take the next step and become kind of a franchise guy. The second reason we talked about him so much is because of his father. And that is a guy who called Jason Whitlock fat and basically told Christine Leahy to shut up on a radio show. Do you remember the LeVar Ball era?
How could we forget it?
Where he was trotting out like Conor McGregor style, and he's like, I could be Michael Jordan.
I do remember it well.
Well,
he's just being a good father. He's on ESPN First Take arguing about how his kid's better than Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he's basically saying,
and telling women to get in the kitchen and make myself a sandwich.
Yeah, while calling other media members fat and, you know,
the Whitlock one was funny. That one made me laugh.
Well,
that's
it's
allowable.
Aged really well because nobody likes Jason Whitlock.
I'll allow that.
But Lonzo Ball, who is kind of a shell of himself, you know, he was falling off physically. He goes to Cleveland. It was an utter disaster. And now his career is kind of spiraling out to almost being done, while his brother was just traded to Minnesota, and many people are very hopeful of what he could potentially be with the Timberwolves. But Lonzo was on a podcast with Michael Porter Jr., What do you think they were debating?
That's a hell of a combo right there.
What do you think they were debating, by the way?
The COVID vaccine? Put bleach in my nose tube to make myself feel better?
I don't know what they talked about the entire podcast, but he did say this out loud on the podcast, and I thought, wow, dude, it took you a while, but you saw the light.
Bro, I was just doing what I was told, really, and like, I guess that would be my one regret, like taking control of my career earlier. But really, I was just following my pops, bro, and, you know, just doing what I was told. And that was it, bro. So
yeah, I was going
to also cited that there were shoe meetings with Nike and Adidas he was never allowed to go to, and many
just being
people
a good dad, man. He's just being a good dad.
His entire career was ruined
because of the shoes.
Yeah, the Big Baller brand shoe that came out, he had to wear them. He was not allowed to wear others.
What does LaMelo wear?
Is he Ling Ning?
I don't know.
Adidas?
I just know it's not the Baller brand.
It's not
of shoes that never got off the ground because it was one of the dumbest ideas ever.
I don't know what LaMelo wears, actually. I know it's not.
He has a shoe deal and an individual shoe. I know that. I just couldn't remember the company. I know it's not Baller brand.
Yeah, it's Puma. That's right.
Puma, okay.
He has a Puma shoe. But yeah, man, look, his dad, their dad did a lot of disservice to them. I also think it is fair to say, like, he had two sons make the NBA.
There's a balance there.
But also his sons are 6'7 and 6'9. Like,
yeah.
That's a huge part too.
There's a balance of like, you can be a passionate father. You can be somebody who is very interested in your kids making it and achieving their dreams and pushing them. And there's definitely a delicate balance there. There is nothing in the being a good dad handbook about going on TV and telling women to make you a sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. There is that.
Like, there's a line there.
Also, did you see LeVar Ball in the headlines a couple weeks ago?
For losing his foot or something else?
That was his wife.
Oh, his wife left him?
She straight left him, and many people think left him to go to another relationship.
Ooh, that's tough. Could he still beat MJ one-on-one?
Not with one foot.
Dang.
No.
Okay.
No.
That dream's over.
No. Right. Good for you, Lonzo. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well played. Next up, good daughter or bad daughter?
Yeah.
That was the creepiest way you could have read that.
That was really creepy. No slow dramatic pauses were necessary. You are the only one that has a daughter on this show.
Correctamundo.
Yes.
Now, this could technically apply to any kids. Just in this case, it happens to be a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let me paint a little picture for you.
Oh, I'm sure this is going to be a fun
Actually, painting. Here's what we'll do. I'll play the news bit, and then there's whole... It's not that long of a clip.
Hold off on news.
Sure. Inside edition.
It's inside edition.
Here is the bit about a daughter and what she did after finding out something about her dad.
This man almost took his secret to the grave. Just weeks before he died, he told his daughter he wasn't who she thought he was. As Lester Hunt reports, his deathbed confession was that he was a bank robber.
Shocked isn't a big enough word.
Ashley Randall's father, Thomas, was dying of lung cancer at the age of 71 when out of nowhere, he admitted he once lived under another name.
Mom, Dad, and I were in the living room watching NCIS, and he just sort of out of the blue calmly said, "Well, ladies, just in case something comes up after I pass, I just need to let you know that I changed my name when I moved here. Nobody can know. The authorities might still be looking for me."
Ashley demanded to know his real name.
So here is the full backstory. I was trying to find a longer news clip that could, or inside edition clip that could explain this a little bit better. This guy's 20 years old, okay? His name is Theodore Ted Conrad. Shout out to the Teddies out there.
Teddy Conrad?
He worked as a vault teller for the Society National Bank in Cleveland, Ohio, starting in 1969, okay? About a couple of months after starting, he decided, dude, this sucks. I'm out of here. End of his shift, stuffs $215,000 in cash into a paper bag, walks out of the bank, disappears. Nobody ever finds him. They were looking for him forever. Investigators followed thousands of leads for decades, could not find him. He resurfaces with a new identity, Thomas Randell, in Linfield, Massachusetts. He sold luxury cars. He got married. He raised a daughter. And none of them knew anything about his past. He's then, to that point of the story, he's dying of lung cancer in 2021. He's laying on the couch one day, and he's like, you know what? What the hell? I'm going to let this fly. But he gave the story away on one condition. He said, I'm going to tell you something. You need to know something about my past, but I'm only going to tell you under one condition, and that is that you can never look into it or expose this family secret. Daughter says, okay, you got it. Within hours of him dying, she broke the promise to her dad because he explains the whole thing. Look, I stole money from a bank. You know, I haven't told anybody about this. They've been looking for me for decades. He dies. She then immediately turns around and launches a podcast called Smokescreen, My Fugitive Dad, turning the private confession into a full public investigation. Good daughter or bad daughter?
Well, a couple follow-ups here.
Okay.
One, was it just easy in the 60s and 70s to change your name and get an identification? And like, there's no internet, dude.
There's no cell phone tracking. There's no...
probably all paperwork.
I need a new license. My name's Thomas Randell.
You know a guy who knows a guy who can get you an ID and get you a social security card.
I don't even think you needed
a guy.
I think the system was so like newish that it was just easy to do.
If somebody walked out of a bank with 215 grand,
you couldn't change your name now.
You couldn't change your name, and also how quickly until they catch. There's security cameras, there's flock cameras, there's ring cameras. They're going to see you going into your car, know where you drove. There's a camera on the highway. They're going to find you within minutes.
Yeah, he should have slow played this better to not have to go through changing his name and relocating. He should have taken the money, pretended he was beat, left the money hidden, never got anything extravagant, and like 8 months later quit is what he should have done. But it worked out for him.
He got away with it. He evaded capture for 52 years. It happened when he was 20-something. He died at 71.
How good of a dad was he? Right? That's the instant follow-up.
It's a great follow-up.
If he was an amazing father who was there for his kid, provided everything, gave her a great opportunity.
He held down a regular job.
Supported her.
Yeah, he was selling luxury cars. So I imagine, I mean, he had a 215 grand. The equivalent of what he stole in 69 is at about $1.8 million in modern money.
Set him up for probably the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life, he was set. If you had a secret,
hard to say bad daughter because I don't know what kind of father he is, and that's an important context here.
She's also financially, I'd imagine, capitalizing on the podcast.
I was gonna say if she's
it's kind of a good podcast
grifting on it.
Yeah,
actually, dad might be kind of proud of that grift.
You think the dad's proud of the grift?
I mean, he specifically said not to do it.
Right, that's my thing. Of like, he could have said, "Hey,
but he was also a criminal.
Do whatever you want to do after I die. When I'm dead, I'm gone. That's fine." Because he didn't know when he was just laying on his deathbed. So, like, when I'm gone, do what you need to do.
So the only issue could be, and I don't know if there's a statute of limitations, but if the feds could get restitution on the estate,
I do not know the answer.
See, I would worry about that.
Right,
sure.
They're going to come after the money. It might come after our family's money if I start publicizing that he was the one that robbed the bank.
Is there any kind of secret you're going to tell somebody on your deathbed as of now?
No, not as of now. No secret family.
Right.
Nothing. No. I got nothing. I got no skeletons of that level.
What would you guys do if your parent revealed some kind of level of this secret? Maybe not the exact same crime, but something you're like, your mind is blown.
I would not launch a podcast about it.
No.
I would never do that.
I'd probably keep it.
I think I would too. I think I'd pass it down.
Keep it buried almost to the point where I would want to forget it. And this goes back to if I had some sort of relatively, like, as you said, if he had a normal job and he raised his family and there was no indication that he was, you know, of a deceitful lifestyle or whatever.
Right.
Why would I want then in my head to go back and undo everything that had been a relatively...
It does
decent upbringing.
Yeah, it does make you wonder the family secrets that you don't know, because you're like there's got to be some stuff from a relative or from a
my secrets are always the worst things that aren't like really secret, but then you find it out and you're like, cool, you've already ruined somebody that I actually valued.
Yeah, not yeah, that's true. If you it's know, a bad secret,
especially in your white.
Yeah.
Can we just say that?
Yeah.
I was in an In-N-Out drive-thru with my mom, and we were talking about our grandparents, and my great-grandma, who I knew probably the last 10 years of her life, like got to know her. I would talk with her. She would say funny things. She was smoking with an oxygen mask attached to her nose and the tank between us. And I'm stupid as a kid. I have no idea that, like, this thing could just blow up.
At any moment.
And she's just over here smoking in the house with the oxygen tank. And she's sharing these stories. And I was at her house when Princess Diana died. Like, that was a big night for my mom. And my mom's in the drive-thru and she's like, oh, yeah. She hated anything black. And I went... What?
Come on, Mom.
And she goes, oh, yeah, there was somebody that brought her a black dog, and she wouldn't let it in the house. And I went, my God, dude. I'm just like, that's it? That's the stuff I find out.
That's a tough one. That's a bit of a gut punch. Ouch, cool. Granny, great. Come on.
She was raised in Oklahoma.
I mean, yeah, I know. It's like Duck Dynasty guys. Like, who's surprised by that? She was born in the 1920s in Oklahoma.
Like, those are the family secrets she was discovering. Yeah. What are you guys discovering?
I've only heard one.
How did the Swags get to Lake Oswego? Well, it's a funny story, actually.
Yeah, my dad told me a story one time about somebody in the family having an affair. And it was like, whoa. That nobody, like, it was not known. It was not, the marriage
was
stayed together.
Was there a child of it?
No, no child.
There was just an affair, and nobody knew it.
The moment of it, I will never, it's funny, the little things that stick with you, that we were listening to a song, and he mentioned the family member who loved that band, and he kind of smirked, and he chuckled, and he was like, you know why he loved that band? Because he had an affair with a lady, and that was her favorite band. And I was like, what?
Oh, okay.
All right. How about that?
I mean, I had a cousin on, like, one of those Maury Who Is the Father shows.
You are not the father.
It's just like family secrets are awful.
Yeah, for your side, that's a little scary. Don't go down that road. What else we got? One more in your
TCU, what you doing?
Dude, we have not talked about the sports story. So the report you gave us, the fight?
Yeah, the fight in the locker room.
Have you seen the follow-up to this?
I have not. Was it true that the player got kicked off the team and somebody was in the hospital?
It basically, they were trying to not discuss it, and one of the reporters, I think it's with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Okay.
He covers the team. They're trying to pull his credentials for reporting on this topic.
Come on, man.
Which, people out there say this, I don't like this guy, pull his media credentials. No. And I'm always like, dude, really lighten up here.
Free press is a free press.
Well, some people don't believe in that anymore.
Yeah,
TCU
doesn't
believe in that anymore.
TCU is like going the route of, no, you're not allowed here anymore because you're reporting on something that Sonny Dykes doesn't want out.
Yeah, every fan base is guilty of that to a certain extent. Like, I know our guy Ryan Clark got some heat from Duck fans when he had the samples, video, and update.
You report literally anything remotely in the negative. People hate you and think you have it.
Oh, you're doing this on purpose. You waited until the day before the camp. And it's just like, no, they just got the tip. They vetted the tip, and then they republished it and reported it when they got it. Like,
the evidence, had to get the police reports. You're not volunteering any information to get the story out. So
not some grandiose, you know. Yeah.
It's
motive
a big deal
behind the scenes
to have a team pull a media credential.
Yes.
Like,
embarrassing,
that's a massive.
Dude.
It is an embarrassment.
I remember Lincoln doing this. Didn't he do this in his time in Oklahoma? Wasn't there like a student newspaper
it was a student
that saw
kid watching from the rooftop,
and they like banned him from practice or something?
We tried to get the kid on, I can't remember, but it was just like it was kind of crazy. Steven Johnson had his credentials pulled. Sunday. Due to the threats that were made to the victim after the locker room assault on August the 13th, Johnson was set to cover the Horned Frogs game against UNC in Dublin in Ireland. He is still headed to Ireland for the game.
Are you still going to go to the game? He's not allowed in the stadium?
Boarding the flight now, I just want to say I appreciate all the support and those reaching out. It means a lot. But TCU basically came out and because they had to dismiss safety Jacob Fields for the fight that happened in the locker room. And TCU is like, no, you're not allowed to cover our team anymore.
You had a teammate punch a teammate in the face and send him to the hospital. You then kicked the one teammate off of the team, and you don't think people should report on that? I just don't understand what the argument is. It made us look bad. You know what makes you look bad? Signing players who punch their teammates in the face in the locker room that you then have to kick off of your team. Maybe let's look in the mirror. Maybe it's a you problem here.
Their AD Mike Buddy said, quote, our primary focus is the health and well-being of our student athlete.
No, it's not, because you had somebody get punched in the face.
Unfortunately, an unnamed source without firsthand knowledge of the incident provided inaccurate information, cited an initial reporting by the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, which we strongly disputed. The inclusion of the misinformation advanced a narrative that endangered a student-athlete and resulted in threats to him and his family. These actions led to the decision to withhold the media credential until additional conversation can be held between the athletics and the sports reporting team.
So you're going fake news, but you kicked the kid off the team? Then why'd you kick the kid off the team?
I mean,
if it's fake news.
Yeah. There's reporters locally I don't always love, but like I would never advocate for anybody to lose their media credential.
No, it's ridiculous. Absolutely
ridiculous.
They'd
have to cross the media journalism ethics line.
Yes.
And there's...
Are we not rooting for the meteor in Dublin? Is this turning into a meteor rooting situation? Because I sure as hell ain't rooting for Belichick.
I don't want to root for Belichick.
I don't want to root for TCU anymore now.
I see UNC going 12.
Now this game sucks. Now I'm bummed out on the whole game. Now the whole thing. This is the first one of the season. Way to go, college football. Oh, more Magic Hat next.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers,
autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
A couple of quick thoughts here at the fan text line. Some crazy one made me chuckle. 503-864-6326. Somebody said, I don't want to do a 23andMe because, well, A, giving up my DNA, and B, Grandpa and my dad were fun havers, and I don't need more relatives in my life. How about two more here on the idea of like family secrets? How about this? My dad was in the Vietnam War. He once told me that if a half Thai, half American boy ever comes to the house looking for his dad, please don't tell mom about it. And one more in the line of this.
Are all bets off during war?
I tend to think
all
so, but
bets.
In terms of fornicating with others.
I mean, sure, but I think you're still feeling a certain way if you find out.
This one to the line of what you were talking about. When my wife's grandma died out in Dallas, we were going through her attic and found her great-great-grandfather's KKK outfit neatly pressed in a box. It was turn of the century in Oregon, so I can't say it was totally shocking. On the plus side, it was still perfectly white, so at least he was a tidy fellow.
I was hanging with a friend, and I don't know if I've been more uncomfortable of like, hey, you want to see some cool stuff? And it was somebody that had a lot of Nazi stuff.
Oh, you can say who that is. I know who it is. He's in my family. Might even be a sympathizer for all I know. I don't know what's going on there politically, to be honest with you.
There's a lot of stuff, man. This is a lot of Nazi stuff, dude. Why do you got all this stuff?
There's a lot of Nazi stuff in right here, and I'm getting a little, as a World War II buff, I'm getting a little uncomfortable.
Well, my dad is half Japanese, right? And so my mom met him when she was really young, and she had three kids, right? I'm quarter Japanese. My great-grandfather, who was married to that racist great-grandmother, he helped raise my mom at a lot of different points of her life. He is the guy that introduced me to not sharing food with people by sneezing on my chili dog.
You take a sneeze on
my mom also revealed to me that like he wouldn't allow any rice in the house because he went through war.
Yeah. Somebody's gone through war. I'm not going to judge that.
All right.
I don't know what that
was. How could you not eat rice?
I know. I love rice. I could eat rice every day.
It's a staple.
But, yeah.
Crazy.
Seen some
things. Right. Next up, lowest ever.
This one's a quick one. I just thought this was in there last week, and I put it back in because I thought it was interesting, and I'm wondering what we chalk it up to, if that makes sense. A new Gallup survey came out a week ago, and they have been tracking this data since 1939. 1939 is when they began tracking it, and it is the lowest mark ever for the percentage of American adults who consume alcoholic beverages. It has never been lower in the history of our country since they started tracking in 1939. I believe the percentage of alcoholic beverages or percentage of adults who use alcoholic beverages is 54%. And it has been, I mean, you go back to essentially
during COVID, because I feel like that was when a lot of people had
COVID. It dipped before COVID and then it spiked during COVID.
Right.
And then since we got out of COVID, it has been in a direct line down. We were up near upper 60%, it looks like, and we have dropped essentially in 5 years, 14% of the American population that does not consume alcoholic beverages.
It's a fascinating conversation.
Is it a pill thing? Is it cleaner? What do we chalk it up to?
I mean, I think it's a combination. I don't think you're going to point to any one thing.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of people are getting healthier, which is important, right? Because we're a pretty obese nation.
Yeah.
Lifestyle changes.
Right. I'm not at zero, but I'm at the lowest I've ever been in my life.
Oh, yeah, man. I don't. I mean, I had, when we were building the fence, my oldest and my wife made these little margaritas. and I hadn't had tequila in God knows remember when.
Get a little dipsy.
Did I? No, I took a sip, and I was so utterly grossed out by it.
Has it been so long since you had anything?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've had tequila before, and I had good tequila. It was good tequila. I don't really crave it.
Swag's on the other end. He's holding up his... He's doing his service.
I mean, yeah.
You gotta have your fill somehow. Like, everybody's got their little thing that they need to take the edge off, and, you know, everybody's got to have their vice.
That's my... As far as that...
But would like you call
and
it
I think
a
it's
vice?
I think alcoholic beverages...
For him?
I would imagine so, yeah. Is it a de-stressor? It helps you calm down, long week, pop a cocktail, right? Yeah. Takes the edge off a little bit. I also think there's a generational thing, and I'd be curious to watch this as Teddy grows up. Because booze when I was in high school was a bit like, we partied a lot.
You wanted to do what you could to get your hands on booze.
Like, whatever we could do to get our hands on a 40 of Old English or a Mad Dog 2020, we could do.
It had such a stigma, like, of being sophisticated and adult.
And I think that's changed. Do you agree?
Has changed.
I wonder if our alcohol consumption, now you don't partake in gummies or anything like that, if it's a generational thing too, because
probably.
It's just... You know, I think younger generations are leading to this.
You don't
decline.
Get a hangover from weed.
No, you do not.
You could have two drinks and
you might
wake
eat
up
too much Taco Bell, but
I mean that's very possible.
You could also do that drunk.
That's a different result, and both things can lead to it. I had a conversation with somebody a few months back, and they were basically advocating that you should drink more to have conversation. And I was like, well, we could just not drink and still have conversation.
There's definitely the idea of it being a social crutch.
Well,
that is for sure.
Can't. Yeah, I think that's what I would say is like, I'm okay. If you want to have a drink, have a drink. I'm not judging. But people, like, some people have to have it to be able to talk. And that's interesting to me.
Yes, that definitely exists. I know that.
All right, we got time here. What we lose.
What we lose. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to pull some audio because, you know, we have fun about the ticker being lost on college football. We don't have a Pro Bowl anymore, as Dirt alluded to with the NFL eliminating the Pro Bowl game. Just want to give you a nice reminder. We've had some nuggets that have been dropped during the NFL Pro Bowl. This is Peyton Manning in the heart of the Colts run after Mike Vanderjack had popped off about Manning and Dungy not having the ability to win games. He said that, and then Peyton Manning was asked during the NFL Pro Bowl, and this was his response.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, Lynn. Here we are. I'm out of my third Pro Bowl. I'm about to go in and throw a touchdown to Jerry Rice. We're honoring the Hall of Fame. We're talking about our idiot kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. So, hey, Al, Dan, what has the sports world come to? We're talking about idiot kickers. He has ruined kickers for life. Akers and Vinatieri, these guys are great guys. They've been getting killed all week because our idiot ran his mouth. So when I get home, I'll deal with it. Tony and I talked about it. It's kind of funny, really, when you think about it. Get in. If he is still a teammate, we'll deal with it. You know, that remains to be seen. But the sad thing is, Lynn, he's a good kicker. He's a good kicker, but he's an idiot. Hey, Dan, what do you think about this?
Hey, Dan, what do you think about this, Dan?
Is that Dan Dierdorf?
I think that's Dan Dierdorf. Al Michaels and Dan Dierdorf.
That was my Monday night team growing up. I missed your window in your era. Mine was Al Michael, Dan Dierdorf, and Frank Gifford.
Yeah.
That was my OG Monday night football
club. I had Howard, Cosell, Gifford, and I was after Dandy Don Meredith. So I forget who joined them.
When they got rid of Dierdorf and Gifford, and it went to Al, and I can't remember who else, and then they brought in SNL guy.
Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller. Yep. That was odd. And then they tried the Kornheiser thing. That was odd.
Didn't work. Three-man booths are tough.
That was a good three-man booth for me.
That was a good one back in the day. Yeah. Let's get one more in. We got time. One more. Quick.
Right. Shrink the game.
Perfect. This is a short, quickie one. Yeah. YouTube Golf is not having the best of weeks. Did you see the good guy released like a 3-minute apology video yesterday?
That really does it for me.
In which he took no accountability
he
and blamed
didn't.
The marketing department. He said he showed the clips of them filming it saying, well, I didn't actually hit her. Nobody was actually assaulted in this. I just want to make sure that's clear. Tried to explain that it was a spinoff of the Obsession movie and I was obsessed with my driver. But, I mean, just more of the same from them, and more stores continue to pull their gear off of the shelves.
By the way, quick, you haven't seen that movie. Do you know what happens in the scene he's referencing from the movie?
No.
No.
It ends in death. So I would just highlight, like,
wow.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. My driver.
And it's a pretty awful death.
What are we doing here?
So,
And with the news of YouTube Golf having a bad week, one of the other YouTube Golf stars has stepped up and said, how about I throw my name into the ring? And that is from Grant Horvat, another YouTube Golf guy that I cannot stand, hashtag shrink the game, announcing something that would be of intrigue to me, because Teddy Ballgame to this point still going very strong in his aspirations as a golfer. He wants to go out at some point every day and go hit golf balls. And
I
say,
you keep doing this, man.
You do it, buddy. You want to go outside and hit golf balls? We'll go outside and hit golf balls. You want to go to the park and hit golf balls? We'll go driving range. Him saying driving range is one of the cutest sayings, because he can't fully say it, but he's pretty close.
You give me a reason to go out to Waverly to watch golf, I'm going to be very proud of you. Hey, we got to go to Waverly today for about 2 hours. Teddy Ballgame.
Little amateur tournament. Yeah, we got to go play in. How about this one? Because we do have the little set of the plastic clubs, the Fisher-Price set. You know, he's got a little actual club that he hits with, but we do have the plastic ones. Grant Horvat is releasing his own set, Lil Legends Golf Clubs. Let me tell you about them. You get three plastic clubs.
Plastic, okay.
Three plastic clubs.
So Fisher-Price.
Fisher-Price.
Right.
Three, it seems like they say bouncy balls, kind of rubber balls, or foam balls to hit.
Sure.
If I'm going to ask you, three plastic clubs and three foam balls, what should the price of that be?
$9.95. Well,
it's not going to be what it is at Goodwill right now, because I see one every time, and that's usually $5, maybe two.
Right, you go get it cheap, here's a used set.
It's online, it's a kind of an internet celebrity. I'm going to guess this is $19.99.
Seems totally fair. I think the Fisher Price set I bought off of Amazon for Teddy was like $19. I was like, you know what, whatever, we'll do it. $199.99. $199.
Proceeds go to a charity.
And 99 cents. They go to Grant Horvat's charity bank account, in which he capitalizes on idiots buying the Lil Legends kids golf set.
Go away.
I do love your pivot into shrink the game.
I'm leaning into this bit, dude. I can't stand these people. If you want to watch good golfers, watch the PGA Tour.
Well, I don't get the commentary.
Grant Horvat, you want to show you can do it? Go play on the PGA Tour.
The pressure. I can't do it. Too much travel.
I can't say
that his reasoning,
dude. I hate these
guys. He can't do it because there's
travel? He's got like a mental health thing, and it's too much on me, and all the I can't remember exactly what it was, but he tried to go on some big rant about why he's not involved in the PGA Tour.
He's also just not good enough.
Thank you. Go buy $199 Little Legend clubs though if you need to.
Who is buying that?
Hashtag shrink the game.
I can find used real clubs for children for less than $100.
Dude, they're 3 years old. It doesn't matter the quality of the club.
In fact,
just get them swinging something.
I had a little mini Nike iron set that I should have just given you.
Yeah, we took my niece had one that was, they're like 2 feet long, and he hits them all
adorable.
The time in the backyard.
They're real perfect. Iron.
Exactly.
Wow.
Shove it, Grant Horvat. There you go. There is your magic hat. Always delivers. We will close up the show. We got some preseason games to keep an eye on tonight. Final thoughts with Sandy on your way. Wrap it up next on The Fan.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Some funny text coming in on the boozing numbers being down. Lowest they've ever been in American history. Ryan says, don't worry, I'm covering for at least four people. Another one, where did this go on YouTube? Somebody said, I drink five beers a day. I'm doing my part, you slackers. Makes me think of the Super Trooper scene. Or not, Starship Troopers. I'm doing my part.
Oh, that's
I'm doing my part. I got five beers a day. And there's no judgment here. Like, I certainly have a bunch of unhealthy lifestyle habits. Booze just isn't one of them anymore. As you get older, I do feel like you got to, like, let one or two of them go. And I still do other unhealthy habits. So it's like I might as well not do everything that's unhealthy. Like, I still eat a lot of red meat. And there's, you know. Things.
You better buy it now before the Argentina beef gets here.
That is very true. That is very true.
I would say on the booze front, because I went over a year with no booze.
You did.
That's not very hard. When I had my first, because my first one back was, we went to Pacific City for my daughter's birthday, got a beach house, went to Pelican, had an outside table on a perfectly sunny day. Ice cold
went
red
Rome,
ale, and I was like, good God, that was amazing. I didn't drink four of them. I didn't have seven of them.
Yeah.
I had one, and if I have one, I have one, and I call it good. And it's usually a super light lager.
It's interesting. Yeah, people texting in about basically younger generations. They don't drink at all. This one was funny from Aiden. He said
they also have way cooler things they get to do that aren't good for you.
Yeah, without a doubt. Somebody said if it's down, then why the hell is my beer so expensive? I can't do weed because of work, just cigars and beer. But holy hell, the bleep's expensive. That one made me laugh out loud.
Cigars is one that I like to say that I average 2 a year. My daughter gives me a lot of grief for smoking it. They're super unhealthy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love being on my deck, having a stogie.
It's a good feeling, dude.
It's a great feeling.
Vacation cigar, even if it's not, just like a nice night, patio, music playing. Maybe there's a fire somewhere.
I love a golf cigar. I'll put it down on the ground, hit a shot, pick it up. Like, I'm on the green.
Yeah. Well, the preseason wraps up its final week this weekend in the National Football League, and that final week of the preseason begins tonight.
Yes.
Have four games tonight, right?
Bills -3.5.
We get our prime video debut. Everybody's got to do their, yeah, I'm not gambling.
Give me lines. You're giving me lines.
We will spring line. By the way, we will spring line tomorrow. Now, yeah. It's not going to count. We got 2 weeks of warm up before it goes countsies.
We'll get those spring line sponsors in now. But fan text line.
We will have actual games to gamble on this weekend that count. So we'll have some fun with that.
The Raiders must not be playing anybody because they're 3-point dogs at the Raiders.
You mean the Niners?
The Niners are.
Must not be playing anybody.
Nobody's playing anybody.
Are any starters playing tonight? Is anybody going anybody?
Maybe the Raiders.
The only one that's intriguing to me is Pittsburgh, just because of the young quarterback, the Howard and Aller thing. They've kind of gone back and forth in training camp so far. Do we get does Deshaun Watson play for Cleveland tonight?
No, he does not. It's going to be Gabriel and
Taylen Green.
They're not even playing Shador tonight?
I don't think so. You know. That's why they're 2.5-point dogs.
Gabriel out of the NFL in a year or two?
He strikes me as the kind of guy that's never going to get a sniff and just be a
third string. He will
hold a clipboard for like 6-7 years.
Better in practice running the scout team or
seems like
whatever.
A good personality.
Somebody can see over the line of scrimmage.
Hey, that's heightism right there.
It is heightism. You have to be tall like quarterback.
Should
man.
He file a class action lawsuit against the NFL if they cut him that quickly? This is against my God-given rights.
Dylan Gabriel's going to have he's already made money from Oregon.
Oh,
and
he's
college.
Living a good life, dude.
He's going to go to Hawaii and he's going to coach youth football. And we're going to read a story in 15 years about how he's kept the tradition of St. Louis football humming in Hawaii.
I said that, and I think we all said it, that Browns taking him in the third round is one of the dumbest draft picks I've seen in the last
wildly
10 years.
Wildly stupid.
There was no
For
need to take him that early.
Not even there anymore, by the way. Stefanski, he's got little man likes. He brings in Tua.
He likes him small.
He does like him small. I think he likes to be the dominant guy in the conversation.
Is he forced?
I'm Kevin.
That's a great question. How tall is Kevin Stefanski?
He's got to be 6'1". I think he likes his quarterback shorter so he can feel taller.
He's listed at 5'11".
So, I would believe a coach listing more than a
player
listing.
Dylan Gabriel's shorter than 5'11". Dylan Gabriel's tiny,
dude. Isn't Penix, though, like 6'2"?
Listed at 6'2".
But he didn't, to Sprague's point, though, he just was hired in Atlanta. He didn't go draft Michael Penix. He drafted the shortest quarterback possible.
Did the Falcons trade for Gabriel at some point in the season?
And then he signed who?
Tua.
Who's gotten the first team reps most of the camp?
Tua.
I think Kevin's was his quarterback here, before Dylan Gabriel
Baker
got
Mayfield,
Baker
tiny guy.
Mayfield.
You're on to something here,
I think Kevin Stefanski likes his quarterbacks short and sweet.
as a fellow short.
So he can
short,
yell at him with all the intimidation.
As a fellow short, I will say, talking down to somebody is a very rare feeling that I don't get very often in life, but when you get it, it feels fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Why do you think Napoleon was
right?
a thing?
How often do I get to kind of blow my chest out and look down at you? Oh, yeah. Give me one of those. Start yelling at you. Usually it's, oh, yeah. You excited for the Hooded Ghost tomorrow?
I'm nervous. My team is texting the hell out of my phone right now. Uh-oh. I'm nervous. My foot's either going to break or I'm going
to
make it.
No, you'll be all right.
Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
Well, Godspeed to all the Hooded Ghost runners. Are we going to time it up for a Sprague and Line hit tomorrow?
So here's the problem. I'm the first leg. I start at 5. I don't run during any of the show.
How long's your leg?
Oh, it's 6 miles.
How long does that take you? 50 minutes? 45 minutes?
It's projected at my time that I listed at 58.
Okay. So you'll be done right around the start of the show.
I said 9:30. I might end up running a little faster. I always sandbag. But.
Well, good. That's all right. We'll get through it. It's always fun. Have fun. Everybody running the Hood to Coast. Stay safe. Don't break your feet. And enjoy the football if you get a chance to watch some at the Coast.
Indeed.
Sprague will be back on Monday. We will be here tomorrow. Where does the dirty poll go? Find out. We will have Ryan Abraham on the show tomorrow talking USC football because they make their debut this weekend. They are not in the dirty poll, but just a USC football preview from Ryan Abraham on the show tomorrow. We had Miami on the show as a preview this morning for the Daily Ticker. Go check that, 1051thefan.com. That'll do it for us. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Meringue, is next. Listen to 1051 FM.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.